Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
And as you come into this last week of June, and next week's the first week of July, the 4th of July, for many folks, they're thinking about it's vacation time. So I don't know if that is you. I don't know if you have something planned. Maybe you think about vacation time all year round. I don't know. But it is that. It's that time of year where the beaches are crowded, that the theme parks are full, and if you participate in either of those, your bank account is about to be emptied. So that's the way that works. And so for any of you watching online that's on vacation, glad that you've joined us today. Some of you might be down in Myrtle Beach, which as of today becomes the largest city in West Virginia, as everyone tracks down there for their time at the beach. But vacation's a fun time, and I hope you get something in. But regardless of what you have in store, we have a good day. Now, think about theme parks. One of the things that a lot of people like to do, I could not remember the last time I actually did this, and at my age, I may never do this again, but some people love roller coasters. You know, in fact, you don't have to go out of state to get a roller coaster. There is one amusement park in West Virginia. You can get on 64 right here at our exit, go right over to Huntington, get off at whatever exit that is right before you get into Kentucky, and Camden Park is there. It's been there for 120 years. Isn't that amazing? And you can get on the Big Dipper. It was built 65 years ago, but it's safe. It's safe. It's all been updated, checked, and inspected, but it's all there. But if you think about a roller coaster, your body is in motion, right? But basically, you're either going up or you're going down, and some variation of that, right? It's either up or down. And when you think of our lives, perhaps a good analogy for our life is a roller coaster. It seems like you're always going up or going down. You might have that moment, you know, that moment at the top where you kind of, and then you know your life is about to end as you have this horrendous drop into the abyss, you know, that sort of thing. And we have that, everything changes. Our emotions are up and down. Our physical, you know, stamina and life is up and down. The circumstances around us, it's up and down. Well, I want to share with you today, as we look into chapter 4 of Hebrews, that we can find some stability in life. And I want you to look at this with me together. And it's really the second part of what we started 2 weeks ago, where he's talking in this text about rest, about the rest that we can have in him. Now, you understand the context, and I've given you this many times. It's the reason we call this Jesus who is the greatest of all. Because the Hebrew believers in Christ that he's writing to, hence the name Hebrews, were people who came out of that tradition, and now they'd embraced faith in Christ, but things are getting tough. They're in one of those top of the roller coaster moments, getting ready to head into some really difficult times. And because of that, there's this temptation, because it would be easier, they would think, to identify more with their Jewish background than it would to identify with their Christian faith. So the writer of Hebrews pens this letter. It actually probably was more of a sermon than a letter in its form as it comes to us. But he's urging them, he's encouraging them, find your stability, find your cause, find your purpose, find your wholeness, find your rest in your relationship with Jesus. Find that space to occupy. Find that place to just rest in him. Now, we've already talked about it. I'm not going to repeat too much of what I shared last time, but I want you to go to verse 7, and I want to pick it up in verse 7. Again, and by the way, he continues to quote from the Old Testament here in this chapter, as we've seen all the way along. And here in chapter verse 7, he's again quoting from Psalm 95, which basically, you know, this 3 and 4 is basically a sermon on Psalm 95. But he says, again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, and here's the quote, today, if you'll hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. So again, we kind of left off with that theme in verse 6, where he says, it's all about belief. You have to believe. You have to trust. You're not going to see everything with your eyes. You're not going to sense everything with your senses. But you have to have this rock-solid belief that God is providing all that we need, okay? Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, now this is taking them back into their Jewish history. Joshua took them from that last leg of the Exodus across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, the conquest of the land. You can read all about that in the book that bears his name. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. So he's saying, here's the contrast. In your Jewishness, you think you got rest when you entered this land of promise. You think that's it. But if that's true, it wouldn't say in Scripture there's something yet future. He would not afterward have spoken of another day. And here it is. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. By the way, that could be a verse that you might want to write down and tuck away somewhere. There is a rest. If you're tired, you're worn out, you're frazzled, there is a rest. And that's not just physical, but that's emotional. That's the core of our being, our spirit, our souls. There's a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. That is an important, deep, significant thing to say. Let's think, if you got your Bible, please just look at it with me. For he who has entered his rest, if someone has really entered this rest, this stability, stable situation, where even though life is going up or going down, that we can just kind of have some resilience. For he who entered his rest has for himself ceased from his works. If you go back to your Judaism, it's all about doing stuff. It's all about trying. In Christ, it's all about trusting. Trusting that His grace is there, His grace is sufficient. So He calls us that we can cease from our works. That's not how we're saved. That's not how we live this life. That's not our future. That's not our destiny. We need to cease our works to gain God's favor, to earn God's favor, to kind of make ourselves better. Now, there's works that are produced in us. Paul talks about this in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. After we've received His grace through faith, we were ordained to do good works, not to get His favor, but because we already have received His favor. We do it as an act of worship, an act of joyous returning something to God as we live for Him, as we do these works, okay? So I want to just share two things with you. First of all, if we want to have stability in life, number one, we need to have a connection to the grace of God. We need to get a hold of it. We need to attach ourselves to it. It needs to attach itself to us. That God is the God of grace. And that basically means, in simplified language, we have His favor. We have His blessing. We have His strength. It is His help for our need. It's there. It's in place. And you see that we have that through the ceasing of works. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. How did Israel do back in the Old Testament? By trying to do it themselves. They fell. They stumbled. They wound up in a mess. Don't go back. Don't do that again. Leave that alone. Instead, we need to be diligent to enter that rest by not following that example. We enter that rest by knowing this. First of all, that we have His grace. It doesn't need to be obtained. It doesn't need to be found. It doesn't need to be conjured up. It doesn't need to be coaxed out of a stingy God. We have His grace because God is a God of all grace. He is giving you His help, His favor, His acceptance, His involvement in your life because He is a gracious God. Be diligent. If you want to give some effort, be diligent to get this programmed into your mind and filtered into your heart and let it flow out into your life. That God has given you His grace. You have all of the grace of God that He could possibly give you. God is not holding out on you. It is there. It is available. It is real. Trust it. Believe it. Know it. Act upon it. We have His grace. So let me just take a moment and say this. Have you been diligent to receive this grace, to enter into this rest? This stable life, stable in this life and the surety of life to come? Well, I want to just remind you that that has to come through belief. Remember what it said earlier in our section where it said that we would not harden our hearts in verse 7, that because of disobedience and so forth. That is unbelief. Let me just take a moment and say, maybe everyone that's listening today or one that's here today, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then just rejoice, stand by. I've got more good stuff for you coming, okay? But if you're not one of His children, take this seriously in your life, that He has offered to you His grace. Where do you see His favor? How do you know His favor? He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And He sent His Son to be your Savior in this world. and he sent his son to be the Savior for you when you exit this world. He is the only Savior, but he can be your Savior if you'll believe in him. The thing that separates us from God is sin. All of us have sinned. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner as far as our record, as far as our performance in the past. But that can be all dealt with because he took upon himself our sin. He became sin for us. This righteous, holy, perfect person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, took upon him our sin. He died on the cross, and through his death, sin's price was paid. And now he says to you, just believe that. Just trust that. Just grab a hold of that and say, that's for me. There's all sorts of things that can get in the way of that. What would somebody think if I became religious? What would somebody think if I proclaimed being a Christian? Or how about this? I can't live. I mean, you know, that sounds good for somebody, but I can't live that way. That's not going to work for me. Or that's just too good to be true. A free offer with no strings attached. It sounds too good. There's all sorts of things that can play tricks in your mind, and we have an enemy that likes to blind our minds. But may the Spirit of God let this get through if you need Christ. He is the only Savior. Sin's price is paid, and his grace is there, and we can have it. You can have it if you don't already. All right?
We are all looking for a place to feel at home. Pastor Jesse Wagoner and the congregation of Mount Calvary Baptist are ready to welcome you because when you're here, you're home. With their warm, welcoming environment, you will feel right at home as you experience the life-changing power of Christ. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64, I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Secondly, let me just say it this way. We have all of his grace. All the time, all of his grace in every way. It is there for us. It is available to us. We sang a song just a little bit ago, that Standing on the Rock, and I took a picture of the screen while you all were singing. And I love this line. I just wanted to read it to you again. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. If you were singing at that particular moment, you've already spoken those words with your lips, and I did too. Let's make sure that we live them in our hearts, that sometimes things are seeming to break. Sometimes we are about ready to go over the arc of that next big drop. Maybe it is scary, or maybe we feel like we're climbing, and never going to get to that peak. Whatever we're experiencing, the reality is that we have all of his grace. We have grace to save us. We also have grace to sustain us. Whatever you're going through, whatever you have gone through, whatever you will experience in life, you know what you have if you're one of his children? You have all of his grace. Remember the Apostle Paul? I mean, this is a giant of the faith, right? This is one of our heroes. You know, one of the pillars of the faith. Wrote a big chunk of the New Testament. Here was a guy that, you know, God, through the Spirit, healed people. And maybe in that case where Eutychus fell out of the window, he maybe even raised the dead. But he at least got him back to wholeness after this accident that happened in their church service. But amazing guy. But he describes it. I have this thing called, he called it this, a thorn in the flesh. Something was just sticking in him. It could have been physical, could have been emotional. We don't really know. But he goes before God three times. He goes before God and says, God, will you take this out of my life? And you think anyone's going to get the prayer answered? You think Paul might have a leg up on us, wouldn't you? And God gives him this answer. The thorn was never removed, whatever it was, as far as we know. Sort of wasn't removed when he prayed about it. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. God says the same words to you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, whatever you'll go through, whatever is next, whatever is the next drop or the next climb, his grace is sufficient. You have all grace. Now, what we need to do is to get that programmed into our mind. Go back to verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter this rest. Find your stability. When you're on that climb and it doesn't feel like you're ever going to get up, let your mind go back to the reality that you have his grace and you have all of his grace. And when you're about ready to top that next place, when it's looking good, it looks fun, you're kind of lifting out of your seat, you're defying gravity for a split second. When that's happening, you have this reality that his grace is there. His grace is sufficient. And when it feels like the bottom is about ready to drop out and you throw up your hands and you scream, God's saying, Think about this. Be diligent to process this. Let this flow into your thinking that you have His grace and you have all of His grace. He's not going to abandon you. He's going to be there with you. He's going to take you through. He's going to protect you. And what if that next drop ends your life? Well, that's a great thing to encourage me with this morning, isn't it? Especially if you're heading to a theme park and you have roller coasters on your mind. I've now planted that thought in your mind. But you know what? Paul said this, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's a whole life policy, isn't it? Whole life in this life and whole life in eternal life. It's God's got it. God's got this. Now, the problem we have is sometimes our minds do not attach ourselves to this truth, and that truth does not attach itself to us. But be diligent to enter this rest, its grace. Stop your trying, stop your working, stop your labor, stop your fussing, stop your complaining, stop your worrying, stop your anxiety. Just come back and fill your mind with this truth and fill your heart with this reality that we have His grace and we have all of His grace. We have grace to save us. We have grace to sustain us. And we have grace to secure us. And that's the stability we find in life as we enter into His rest. If I could just give a download into your brain, I would just like those two things you see in front of you to be downloaded into your brain. I want to be downloaded into my brain. We have His grace. You have all of His grace. No matter where you are in life, no matter what's going on in life, enter His rest. Now, in the next verse, he shifts gears. And it seems like, how does this fit? For the word of God is living and powerful, verse 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Well, how does that fit together? I got to tell you, as I was working my way through this chapter, I thought, how does that fit together? But then you start thinking, he's giving these ways in which we can know that we have His grace and that we have all of His grace. It's not about trying. It's about trusting. It's about a life of dependence in Him. It's about trading in my worry for the certainty of His work in our lives. So this is the second part of it, okay? We have a connection to the grace of God. We need to have that. And we need to have contact with the Word of God. Where's that confidence going to come from? Where's that faith going to come from? Where's that reality that God's grace is sufficient for me? Where are you going to get it? He wrote a book on the subject, and he's dropped it into our hands, and we talk about it on Sundays, and you look at it regularly, and we do it in our groups, in our classes. We try to teach it to our children, what's going on right now and what we do in our homes. And we have all sorts of means available to bring this into our lives. So we need to have contact with the Word of God. Now, let me just go through this verse, these two verses, and just give you a few items to understand. So he's drawing an analogy, all right? For the Word of God is living and powerful. That's the statement. It's living. By the way, there's no other book you can say that about. Every other book is not on this caliber. And I don't know how to explain this other than this book is infused with the life of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not. This is breathed by the Spirit of God. This is supernatural. This is God stuff, if we want to say it that way. And it is powerful. It's transformative. It makes a difference in our lives. And it will make change possible in our lives. And then he makes this analogy. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We're not real familiar with swords. At least I'm not real familiar with swords. Maybe you're a sword aficionado. But the Romans, in their tactical desire to be a militaristic empire, made use of the double-edged sword. And you think of a sword, if a sword has one sharp blade and the other is a dull side, you can swing it one way, but then to do business with it again, you got to pull it back and swing again. But if it's sharp on both edges, it is dangerous. It is vicious. It cuts through no matter which way it is swinging, no matter. And it's got a point on the end. You can also stab that way. Okay, so sorry to put all that imagery in your mind. But he's saying the Word of God is able to cut through. It's able to make entrance into. And that's why he says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. It gets inside. And this is where the transformation comes to play. You know, a lot of things bounce off our eardrums and, you know, we think about it superficially, but the Word of God, which is living and powerful, can come down inside of us, and as we have contact with the Word of God, change begins to take place. And he uses these descriptions, even to the division of the soul and spirit. I don't think this is a doctrinal point that gets into what's the difference between the spirit and the soul and all that. It's just a way of saying it gets down to the core of who you are. That's the point. If you give yourselves contact with the Word of God, it's going to get in here and it's going to do something because it's living and powerful and it's able to penetrate the core of your being. And joints and marrow, of course, that's other body parts, if you want to say it that way. So all the parts of us, the deep part of us, all of our parts of us, and then as a discerner, this is the thinking process, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what it can do. And by the way, it reveals, that's verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God sees everything. And by the way, the Word of God is going to bring that openness to ourselves. I think that's kind of what he's alluding to. That we can see these things and they're opened up. So what does that do for us? Number one, if you have consistent contact with the Word of God, connection to the grace of God, contact with the Word of God, if you do, it will first of all change your actions as it starts programming us and changing us from the inside out. And that's kind of what he's talking about here when he mentions about disobedience, when he talks about hardened hearts, about not entering rest, about their push to go back to in the wrong direction. He says, those actions will change. But here's what you need to do. You need to understand that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharp, and it gets to the core of who you are, every part of your being, and it will change from the inside out. We'll see that in actions. Probably, you know, as far as each other, we see that. That's what we see, what we can see. But it's more than that. Change our actions. Now, this might be a little hard for you to do, but I want you to mark your place in Hebrews 4, okay? And I want you to go to Isaiah 42. Because we're going to have I want to give you a little practice verse in the next couple minutes. Some of you have already shared this verse with you earlier, but some of you are getting it fresh. But for those of you that do like to go to the beach, this is your verse, by the way. All right? If you're heading to the beach, this is your verse, all right? Sing to the Lord a new song and praise his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Now, you could pick a verse, okay? Pick any verse. We could find some application from it. But since I was thinking about this anyway, I was just thinking about this. So let's imagine you got a vacation. Maybe you're going to your cabin in the woods. Maybe you're going to go out on the boat and catch some fish, you hope. Or you're going to just chill out at home on your porch. Or whatever. You know, if we think of rest, it's summertime. The living is easy, as Gershwin said, right? So here we are. But he said, now, by the way, I want to admit this. Probably their going down to the sea was actually to work, because the sea provided food and that sort of thing. So it probably wasn't just to sit under an umbrella and listen to the waves and work on your tan. Okay, probably not. But anyway, whatever you're doing, even your leisure time, how can your actions change? First of all, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. Even though we tend to make even our recreation time about us, we can also make it about him. Maybe you have a little more time to think and to praise and to thank. God, I praise. I'm going to sing a new song. And I shared earlier, those of you that saw it, we can have new reasons to praise God. What can I praise God I haven't praised him for before? What am I looking at? What am I thinking? Where am I at in life? Find reasons to praise, and find a new way to praise him. All right? If you're out there on the beach, write something inspirational, something praiseworthy in the sand. Take a picture of it and send it to me. I'd love to see it. Okay? Just post it somewhere. Or write a poem. Write a song. Or just spend some time saying in prayer, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praying and I'm going to do nothing but praise God for what's on my mind. Take a verse like this. It enters into our being. It connects with our soul. It reveals where we are. And it takes us to change our actions. All right? Secondly, it will change your thoughts. It will change your thoughts. Okay? So let's look at our verse again here, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praises from the ends of the earth. If you're praising God, you have to think about him. Who is it that we think about the most? oh, it's that person I love and I'm married to or that I'm dating or whatever, right? Or my kids or my... Who do we think about the most? Some of you seem skeptical when I just said that last line. Probably, if truth be told, we think about ourselves the most. And part of that is natural and legitimate, okay? We got to care for ourselves, that sort of thing. But if our thoughts are going to be changed as we expose ourselves to the Word of God, I'm going to use this verse as an example. As we praise Him, we have to turn this around to think about how good He is, how big He is, how smart He is, how wonderful He is. And by the way, that'll connect you back to the fact that we have His grace and that we have all of His grace. It also will change your intentions. A discerner of the thoughts and even the intents, the motivations, the intents, the things we desire of our hearts. Look at this verse again. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise from the ends of the earth. You go down to the sea and all that is in it, the coastlands, inhabitants, and you inhabitants of them. Everything that's in it, everything that's in the sea, everything that's in this world, everything that's out there, everything that exists, has been made by God and for His pleasure. And that includes this little clump of flesh that we call ourselves. Our intention should be that we don't live this life to gain and to get all I can get, or to get all the experiences I can get, or all the stuff I can get, or all the toys I can get, or all the fame I could get, or all the affirmation from other people I can get. If you have some of that, that's fine, that's a blessing, but that's not the point. We're here to put the spotlight on the God who made us, and the God who saves us, and the God who has given us His grace, and the God who has given us all of His grace. That's our intention. That's our purpose. So I've given you one verse, okay? So Isaiah 42:10. It's your vacation verse if you got some vacation. If not, it's still a good verse. Because what does that do? Go back to Hebrews. I told you to mark it. Hopefully you'll get there quick. Because as we expose ourselves, as we have contact with the Word of God, it will change your actions, change your thoughts, change your intentions. Why? Because the Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharp. The Word of God is piercing. It's right into the core of our being, and it discerns, it reveals the intents and the thoughts of our heart. And God sees all, and we should take a look at what God is seeing when we consider our hearts and our thoughts. I hope that you are experiencing this kind of rest. I hope that we're at least taking a little step in that direction. Because as we enter into that sort of confidence that, God, You've given us Your grace, I want to connect with that. Lord, Your Word of God just kind of rearranges my actions, my thoughts, even my intentions. I want to expose myself constantly to the Word of God, to rearrange my thoughts and all my priorities and all that stuff on the inside so that I can just rest in You. I can just put my faith and my confidence in You. So I don't know what you have planned coming up, but I do know this. I know what God has planned for you. He is going to give you all of His grace. We need to connect with that through our reminding ourselves constantly that we have His grace in our fears and our joys, in the highs and in the lows. And He also wants us to make sure that we have constant contact with the Word of God, because it'll mess with your actions. It'll transform your thoughts. It'll rearrange your intentions. Maybe it's a good time to ask this question. Are you finding this spiritual stability? Because you've entered into His rest. I pray for you and I pray for myself that we'll be people that experience that rest in a new and powerful way. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.